Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2 there. We'll speak to you on the subject of faith. I have been studying faith a lot lately and how God works through our faith. And this morning I want us to just look at what God has to say, what is available to us by faith. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, this morning I ask that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument to teach your truth. Lord, I ask that you would strengthen our faith, that we might take hold of your promises, that we might see your will done through the power that you release in our lives as we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope with the glory of God. Powerful promise right there. The difference between being lost and being saved is faith in Jesus Christ. The difference between being victorious as a Christian and being a sinner as a Christian, falling all the time, is faith in Jesus Christ. It's exactly the same faith that saves us, keeps us walking with God. First thing I want you to look at is the faith of salvation. Look at verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Adam sinned in the garden, he was still the representative of every human that would ever be born. And when he sinned, the sinful nature passed upon all men. The Bible says in Adam, all die. Every member of Adam's race had the sentence of death upon them when Adam sinned in the garden. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. There's a reason for that. Because the word Adam was the word for the collective group of people that would be born in Adam. If you look to Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, now this is the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, male and female, created he them, and he called their name Adam. It was a collective name, a corporate head name, if you will. And Adam was the one who had everybody in his loins at the time that he sinned. Now, Jesus is called the second Adam because when he was on the cross, every sin that man would ever commit, the same group of people that was in the first Adam was placed in the second Adam on the cross so that he could pay the penalty for all of our sins. When Jesus died on the cross, every one of us died with him. Now, stay with me here. The sentence of death was upon us. Somebody had to die spiritually. And so here is Jesus with all of the sins of mankind upon him. And when he died, we died with him. And when he rose from the dead, we all rose with him. You say, wait a minute, if that's the case, then everybody goes to heaven. No, it's not the case. You see, there is still the choice of which you're going to remain in. Are you going to remain in the first Adam? Or are you going to remain in the second Adam? Somebody said one time, if Jesus died for everybody, then everybody would go to heaven. Well, Adam sinned for everybody and not everybody goes to hell. Because of the choice. The doorway between the two is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now that is all that God did to save mankind. That was the complete package. Everybody that died in Adam received life in Jesus Christ. We have to choose. Are we going to be in the first Adam or the second Adam? When we walk through the doorway of Jesus Christ by faith, something happens. The old passes away. We're no longer a part of the first Adam. We died in Jesus. And then we enter into life in Jesus Christ. And so now there is life for us because Jesus has paid the penalty for our sin. He has put an end to the old, and now all things are new. We are a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now that's the how it works part of salvation. But how is it applied? It is applied by faith. First, we have the promise. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14 says this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You have the promise that when we hear the gospel message, going down to verse 17 of that same passage, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We receive the gospel message. It creates faith within our heart. And then we either use that faith to put our trust in Jesus and be saved, or we neglect it and we lose it. And so the promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if we believe that, and we call upon the name of the Lord, confessing our sins and asking for his salvation, we're saved. Now, I want you to see how close everybody is to that salvation. It is right there. I mean, all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, but so many people are going to miss that. And they're going to go to hell. Look at the provision. Here in our text, scooting down to verse 6 and going 6 through 9, for when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You see, the provision has been made. You have your sins covered whether you believe it or not. But if you believe it, it becomes yours. If you don't believe it, it will never become yours. Because we must enter into Jesus Christ by faith. We must accept what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary by faith. And by doing that, we take hold of that promise. We receive the provision. And then we are absolutely saved. Now, the procurement of that, he tells us in Romans 10, verse 8 through 13. But what saith that? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice here, he says the word is nigh thee even in thy mouth. You have the ability to call upon the name of the Lord. The provision has already been made. And if we call on the name of the Lord, believing in our heart that what he did on the cross was enough for us, then we're saved. It's as simple as that. But a whole lot of people are going to miss that because they do not believe that it's as simple as that. I was on my way to church this morning. I turned the radio on and I was listening to a Church of Christ preacher. And he said, if you who are Christian are living in sin, you're on your road to hell. You see the problem with that? He doesn't believe that what Jesus did on the cross was enough. Now, I'm all for living the best life you know how to live. But it has nothing to do with taking you to heaven. If I believe I have to help God save me, I do not trust Jesus and Him alone. We have got to have faith in what Jesus has promised. And when we put our faith in what Jesus has promised, we're saved. If there's more added to that, it nullifies faith. Faith is not faith until it's all we've got. Jesus gives us a little parable in Matthew chapter 13, I believe it's about 45. He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, he sold all that he had and bought that pearl. The pearl is Jesus. Our faith cannot be partly in this, partly in that, and oh yeah, part of it's in Jesus. We have to liquidate all of our faith and everything else and put our trust in Jesus and Him alone. That was the reason that the old songwriter wrote the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It is that kind of faith that saves us. I want you to know that we can miss heaven just because we doubt the promise of God. I want you to let this soak in. If you doubt God's ability to save you, and you never trust Jesus to save you because you doubt it, you'll never make it to heaven. A whole lot of people have a hope-so relationship to the Lord. That won't work. I hope there's more good in my life than there is bad. I hope that my faith is real. I hope that the truth is, what God said is either true or it's not. And if it's true, trust it. If it's not, forget it. Halfway doesn't do anything. It is complete trust in Jesus that brings salvation. And the moment that we put our trust in Christ, we're saved. Just like that. And that's what God has called us to, is faith in Jesus. All right, now I want you to look at something else. Faith for security. Now there is a difference here. Security is our understanding of our salvation. There are people who have been saved and then later on begin to wonder and doubt because of false teaching that they hear. And that doubt separates them from fellowship with God, but it does not separate them from the security that they have in Christ Jesus. So how can we be secure? How can we know that we have eternal life? How can we have a no-so salvation? Listen to what he says here in verse 2, the last part. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now there's your security. There must be a constant rejoicing in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ to have that security, to know what we have. Ephesians 4:30 tells us that we are sealed until the day of redemption. Let's read that. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What does he mean by that? Well, the King has put his seal on our spirit. And we are absolutely his. Nobody can take us away from God. We're sealed by him. He already has put his name on us, and we belong to him. That's what it means. We're sealed until the day of redemption. I think he puts that to the day of redemption, Brother Frank, so we don't think it runs out somewhere down the road. We live too long, well, it's beyond the point. The truth is, he has sealed us all the way until he takes us home to be with him. My security is not only in the fact that I am sealed, but also that that sealing makes me sinless. I want you to see this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In seminary, they tried to work around this verse. And they said, now what this means is you won't continually practice sin. But I'm going to tell you the key word here is cannot. This is not should not. This is cannot. That means it's impossible. Now why is it impossible? Because I've been sealed until the day of redemption. I can't participate in sin with my spirit when my flesh sins. Romans chapter 7 makes that clear. Paul says, when I sin, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. It sounds like a cop-out, doesn't it? But the truth is, there's a part of us that is sealed instantly when we receive Christ as our Savior and rendered incapable of sin. That does not participate in that sin. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute iniquity. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. You see, God has set us apart. You say, wait a minute, I can still sin. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He says, whoever is born of the Spirit does not sin. And so it is the Spirit that is sealed. It is the Spirit that cannot sin. And so we need to understand that the reason we're going to go to heaven when we die as Christians is because God has done everything necessary to get us there. He has saved us. He has given us new life. He has sealed us and rendered us incapable of sin. And when we stand before God one day, we'll leave this old body behind and there'll be nothing but our sinless relationship to Jesus Christ. When a Christian dies, the Bible says the spirit shall return to the Lord who gave it. The body shall return to the dust from whence it came. There's a separation between the old sinful flesh and the Holy Spirit that takes us to heaven. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29 shows us that we are secure. I love this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that good? Why am I going to make it to heaven? Because Jesus has paid it all. He's done everything that is necessary to get me to heaven when I die. Now I want you to see this. I think this is probably the most misunderstood part of this passage. That is faith in sanctification. A whole lot of Christians today think that God saves us, He seals our spirit, and then it's just up to us how we live. Do the best you can. But that's not it at all. Look what he says here in the first part of verse 2. By whom also, now he's talking about Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now notice what he's saying. He didn't say we're sealed in our flesh. He didn't say that you don't have a choice. And he says we have access into grace. You see that? In other words, you can enter anytime you want to into God's grace and take hold of victory. We sung victory in Jesus. Well, that victory is available to every one of us all the time, 24/7, if we want it. The access is there. The means of entering into that grace that keeps us standing is faith. The same faith that saves us is the faith that sanctifies us. We can enter into the perfect life of Jesus by faith. Folks, that's powerful stuff. I'm telling you. People say, I've got this sin in my life and I can't overcome it. I've got this habit. I've got this. I've got that. Let me tell you something. All that does is make you doubt God's grace. And doubting God's grace eliminates victory. It really does. So I just don't believe it will work for me. Then it won't. You remember what he said about salvation? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. It's right there. But you can sure miss it. Victory's the same way. Every Christian has victory right at their fingertips. God's grace is abundant. It's available. It's all we need. But we have to believe that it is victory. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I want you to see it's the same faith that saves us. Galatians chapter 3, the first three verses says this. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What's he saying? You didn't work your way into salvation. Why are you trying to work your way into sanctification? The same faith that saves us sanctifies us. We just take hold of the promise of God. You see, it doesn't make your flesh better. It just lifts you out of the flesh and sets you in the Spirit. And that life is available to every one of us as Christians. You do not have to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Why? Because grace is there available to you 24/7. And grace is the power and the will to overcome sin. I want you to see that it is a sure faith. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 19 says this. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, that means unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now notice what he's saying here. When we take hold of the promise of God, it is ironclad. It is not iffy. It is not maybe. It is absolutely secure. We have a hope that will endure because God has promised and he can't lie. He never changes. God's grace is never changing. It is all powerful. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. There's always plenty of grace. We just have to enter into it. But we have to believe the promise of God to enter in. And I want you to see that this is a stated faith. I'll show you what I mean by that. Romans 6, 4 through 14. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now listen to this. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it, the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now listen to this last verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Now I want you to see this. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says that you now, as a Christian, have been pulled out of darkness into light. You have been taken from a sinful flesh into a spiritual walk, and you are delivered. You believe that? So that don't seem right to me. It seems like I'm still pretty much a captive of sin. Well, the Bible says, whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But the truth is, you do have deliverance. Now the devil would have you lean to your own understanding, to lean to your experience. Well, every time I've tried to have victory, I fall on my face, and so I don't believe I have victory. Then you don't. Just like the person that says, I just don't believe it's as simple as calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. I believe there's more to it than that. Then you go to hell. It's as simple as that. And for the Christian who says, well, I just don't believe that simple faith in Jesus Christ will free me from all of this sin in my life, then you're right, it won't. See? We enter into victory by faith in Jesus Christ. He has proclaimed you free. He has said you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You now have a resurrected life that you can live in total victory. But you have to believe it. You say, what do I have to believe? You have to believe what he says. He says, you're dead. You're victorious. Sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore. And we're not saying go out and try hard. We're saying just trust God. God illustrated this to me with Peter walking on the water. When Peter was walking on the water, here he is safe in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter said, let me try that. Jesus said, come on. Peter gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water. Against every principle of gravity and buoyancy and everything else, Peter is walking on water. As long as he believed that God's invitation to come to him, as long as he believed that, he could walk on water. But then the Bible says, when he saw the waves boisterous about him, what did he do? He began to doubt. What did he doubt? Now, to Peter, it felt like fear. He was afraid. But Jesus said, wherefore didst thou doubt? To Peter, it was fear. To Christ, it was doubt. What did Peter doubt? Think with me. It wasn't that he doubted that people can walk on water. He knew people couldn't walk on water. Experience of his whole life had taught him that. You step out of the boat, you'll go under. Nobody walks on water but Jesus. So it wasn't that he doubted. What he doubted was the promise that Christ gave him that he could come to him. You can walk on the water with me. You have my permission. Now, at some point, He began to say, I don't think I really can do this. I don't believe that I'll make it all the way to him. I don't believe I can do this. Although Jesus said he could. Although he had already done it to a certain extent. He began to lean to his own understanding. And he began to sink. Now I want you to see something. The Lord really impressed this upon me. Faith takes hold of grace. Just as soon as I doubt that fact, grace is removed. You see, it's all up to my faith. Promise is still secure. The life's still there. It's still available. I can walk in the Spirit as long. Promise is there. The power of God is there. What goes away is faith. And when faith goes away, we sink. You say, well, you just don't know how bad I am. Bad don't even come into play here. See, God's going to lift you out of the miry clay of your sinful nature and put you on the solid rock. Once he puts you on that solid rock, you can stay as long as you want to. Just trust him. Reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed in the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and it will be done. Because that is the truth, you see. Everything else is a lie. Now, the devil will not point you to the whole lie, just half of a lie. He'll say to you, you still have your sinful nature? Yes. Your sinful nature is still wicked? Yes. You've fallen before? Yes. What's that got to do with it? Absolutely nothing. You see, if you're in the flesh, you're going to sin. Bottom line. What Jesus is saying is, I've overcome all that. You don't have to stay in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? By faith. Trusting God. Folks, we as believers in America today have laid down our right to walk in the Spirit because we doubt. Sinful nature is not any worse today than it ever was. Our saltiness depends on our faith in what Jesus has provided for us to walk in His Spirit. We don't have to beg God for this. Did you have to beg for salvation? No. He delivered it right to your door. And you have victory. See, it's not, well, can I have victory? You have victory. You just have to enter into it. Victory's already there. You never have to sin again. Ever. If you just trust the Lord. But whenever you begin to doubt, what you're doubting is the truth of God's promise. Are you free? That's doubt. Are you free? Yes. Why? Because God says I'm free. I don't have to experience freedom to know I'm free. I know I'm free because Jesus says I'm free. And trust in that causes me to experience victory. Leaning to my own understanding causes me to go back to the old truth, and that is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's not where I live anymore. Where I live is in Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, they that walk after the flesh shall die, but they that walk after the Spirit shall live eternally. Took me a long time to understand what he's talking about there. You mean if I walk in the Spirit, I won't ever die physically? You mean if I walk in the flesh, I'm going to die, but if I walk in the Spirit, I'm not ever going to die? That's not what he's saying. You see, my flesh has an end to it. My spirit does not. If the life that I live while I'm on this earth is a life in my flesh, there's an end to that. You crash and burn. And then you enter into eternal life a little bit confused, I suspect. But if you walk after the Spirit, when you leave this world, you'll just be stepping out of this life into the next life. Because eternal life just keeps on going. And folks, when Jesus has made available to us a life of victory, there is no excuse for us to sink because of fear. No excuse. I'm not asking you to trust your power. I'm not asking you to trust your faith. I'm asking you to trust your God, who has made a way in which you can be victorious. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, the Word is right there. The promise is right before your heart. Put your trust in what Jesus did on the cross, and He'll save you. That's the promise. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, this is the time to call on the name of the Lord. But if you've called on the name of the Lord, and the devil can take you captive by his will, whatever time he wants to, get you to do whatever he wants you to do, then you need to enter into victory by faith. Because you've got grace right there. And that grace life is completely fulfilled in your life when you believe it to be true. Because God promised. Let's stand before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your great power and your promise that when we believe your promise, we have victory in Jesus. Ask, Lord, if there's one here that's lost, that you would show them the way to salvation. And Lord, if there's one here that's struggling in sin, that you would show them the way to victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.